Glad to see those who have traveled to hold services in other places back safely with us. We ask now for Brother Harold your very careful and prayerful attention as he brings the message to us this evening.
First of all, I'm happy. I guess this is the first time I've looked at all of you together since I got back. Glad and happy to see your faces and to be back. You don't know until you've left here the love that you see when you get back. You realize it then. Maybe when you're here all the time, it just seems to be a matter of fact thing. But when you're absent a while and then come again, you notice that you really do. And I thank you. I'd like to begin this service with reading a very short scripture. It's found in Moroni, the 8th chapter and the 18th verse. And this is Moroni speaking. Behold, I speak with boldness, having authority from God, and I fear not what man can do, for perfect love casteth out all fear, and I am filled with charity, which is everlasting love. What a wonderful thing to be able to pray, to say, to know that by the Spirit of God that He grants to you, that you may feel that Spirit, and to know within yourself. It is something that we all strive for, hope to attain. And you know, this love, this charity, it is the pure love of Christ, we all must have if we are to have salvation to our soul. It is something that must be ours. For though we do all things, are righteous and have charity one to another, though we do many, many things in our lives,
without that charity, we cannot attain soul salvation with the Lord. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. The 1st and 2nd verses. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was at hand then, it's at hand now. He wasn't just preaching that the kingdom of heaven is going to be here in 2 weeks or a year. He was saying that we all must prepare ourselves so that we can have part. In Mark, the 1st chapter, I want to read the 4th verse. It says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Are you thinking now, when I'm speaking, that I'm now going to preach to those who among us were not baptized? Yes, I am. But more especially, I'm going to preach to those of you who are baptized. They were baptized for, let's read it again. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of
repentance. The baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Now, the majority of people in here, those of accountability, have been baptized. So you need no more baptism of water. But do you need repentance? Do you have anything in your lives to repent of? You have talked among yourselves. You've heard from this pulpit different things that have been spoken that we must do if we're going to be blessed of the Lord. There's those things that we must do ourselves or try to do. And when we put forth the effort, the Lord then will bless our efforts. There isn't a single one here that is useless. There isn't a single person here, but what the Lord has some purpose in having them here, even in this spot. They have a work to do. And the closer they live to the gospel, the closer they live to the Lord, the more able they're going to be to do that work that is theirs. Going to turn to Luke now, the third chapter. The third verse. I'm going to read it again. It's the same as what I've already read to you, but again, there's a second witness to this. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Now you say, those people back then, they weren't baptized. So John was talking to them. He was talking to them all that they might be baptized for the remission of sin. And as I said, you who have been baptized of water need not the baptism of water. But we do need to repent of all those things that we see in our lives that would keep us from doing that work, that duty that the Lord has given us to do, and that we might eventually have soul salvation with Him. If we see that in our lives and know that it is not right, we're weak mortals, all of us. Maybe we never quite gain. Maybe we never put something that we know that we have. Maybe we never completely put it aside. But as long as we continually strive to do it, we may slip a little. But then get a hold again. Pull ourselves up. Try again. We're not perfect. The Lord knows this. And the Lord was with. This morning now, the sermon that our brother gave told us of several keys that we need in our lives if we're going to prosper. I'd like to turn to Psalms now. It's the 32nd Psalm, it's the 5th verse. And David is speaking. And he's speaking to the Lord. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Again. I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I confessed to the Lord these sins that I know that I have. But there's something more needed. With a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and he forgave. When we ask forgiveness, it isn't like you say, it's a good day tomorrow or today or have a good day. It's not as simple as that. When we know that we have sinned and do ask forgiveness, which he will grant, it must be with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. In other words, it must be that we mean it with all of our soul. And at the same time, ask the Lord, help me. He knows that we're weak. We confess these things. Oh, there's many, many things that we each, I believe you're all somewhat of what I am. In my private chamber, in my prayers, I talk to the Lord about many things that I wouldn't talk to him about with you folks present. There are personal things. There are things in my lives. There are little things that I've slipped. There are things that I've done wrong. And I ask of him, and you know, I would be rather ashamed if you knew all of my faults. And I think that is the way with each of us. There are many things that we ask of the Lord when we are in a congregation such as this. Our prayers that we offer, that we're very concerned. Many of us offer wonderful prayers. Myself, it's hard for me to speak. Hard for me to say those things. But when I get by myself, sometimes I can really pour out my heart. And this is what it needs. And I know that I, as well as you, must be able to pour out my heart more. That the Lord can see, oh, he knows anyway, but to let him see that I am really purposeful, that I do really repent of that which I've done. Even in Proverbs now, I would like to read a little verse. It's in Proverbs 28, the 13th verse. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. When we say prosper, I don't believe that this means that you're going to have a better job, more money in your pocket, and so on. I believe it means prosper in the gospel, in this work, this total work that we each have of working toward our soul salvation, that we might prosper more in that. If we are willing to confess our sins to the Lord, if we are willing to do all that we can, all that is possible, to let him know that we are sincere and that we truly do repent, want to set them aside. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The fact is that you sinned. That's a fact. But another fact, another promise is that if you truly repent, you are forgiven. And it's as if it had never been. But wouldn't we like to all start with a new slate, wipe everything away, and then have that Spirit of the Lord with us that we could remain strong and wouldn't sin again? But we will. It's human nature to do it. And although we try our utmost, there is still ways that we will sin, many times unknowingly. But sometimes, because we might be just a little bit afraid of what someone might do or say, or we would say, well, I don't want to make a spectacle of myself, it's possible that we don't quite know the way to express ourselves. Not knowing just how to express ourselves, we do make a spectacle of ourselves. I'd like to turn again to Moroni. This is the 7th chapter. On page 766. Read one verse again. 36th verse. And he hath said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. Okay. And he hath said, repent, all ye ends of the earth. When? Just before your baptism, that's all? It's going to continue on. Your repentance is needed. And he says, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. Now the baptism is that which is necessary. But the trial after baptism is what becomes our chore. What is the hardest thing that we can do? And the faith that we must have. Sometimes our faith gets oh so weak. And at times when the Lord blesses us immensely with His Spirit, we feel so strong again. We feel, never again will I let down. Never again will I do this. But then comes that time when you slip and you aren't as strong. My personal belief is the reason the Lord doesn't bless us continually with that Spirit that would keep us so strong, then we wouldn't have a choice. And He couldn't continue to bless us for something we overcame. We must overcome. And repentance is overcoming. To repent is overcoming. Third Nephi, the 4th chapter. Again, one verse, or a part of it, the 50th. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Another promise. We'll read it again. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that worth repenting of everything you know that's in your life? The next verse. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world. To save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for such is the kingdom of heaven. How little a child? 'Does it make a difference? that we might become as a little child. For one thing, you know, when we get a little older, we don't trust our parents as much as we did. When we were little, we trusted in them completely. Mom could do no wrong, or Dad. They were always there to help us regardless. When we were just little tots, they would help us out. But when we get a little bigger, going out for ourselves, we haven't got them near. Maybe they said, don't walk across the road, don't run across the road. Oh, we did. We got across all right, though. We sure got scared about it. Now, if Mom or Dad had been there, they wouldn't let us start across the road at that time. So we begin to do things that we wouldn't be done if we were as a little child. And if we were a little child and trusted in the Lord as we would trust in our parents, when we grow older and have that same trust in the Lord, that is the thing that would bring us so close to Him, would our faith would grow. It's a beautiful thought. There have been times in my life that the Spirit of the Lord has blessed me more than other times. So much so that, yes, I felt strong. I felt so strong. I did something once in my life that I've always regretted. I don't know if I've ever said anything about it before. I had been in the gospel probably, probably a couple of years, maybe three. And I felt so strongly in the Lord's Spirit. I was driving down the road. I'd taken some other of our people home, and I lived about 18 miles away, and I was on the way home, and it was a night time, probably 10 o'clock, 11 maybe. Driving down the road, I was blessed so much with the Lord's Spirit that I said, Satan can't harm me. That wasn't using wisdom. That wasn't using wisdom at all. And there's many times since then that I've had the feeling that I shouldn't have said that. Wished that I hadn't have. You see, I said, Satan can't harm me. Because of this, I felt so strong in this spirit. Many times since then, I have felt that my temptations might have been easier had I not tempted the Lord. In 3 Nephi, the 12th chapter, in the 33rd verse, now this is the commandment, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not emphasizing baptism. Now, this is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. This doesn't mean that you were baptized and the hands were laid upon you for the reception of the Holy Ghost, and that was it. Didn't mean you weren't going to be tempted.
Didn't mean that you were going to have rough times. Didn't mean that you had to repent. It meant that you could call upon the Lord if you lived as best you knew how, and the Lord would care for you and help you, but you're still going to be tempted. You're still going to have those things to repent of. And that's my point. If we were a people that repented more, saw more of our faults, not that I've got to point them out to you or you point them out to me, but saw each our own faults, we could take them to the Lord, make ourselves better people. Would He use us the more? Could He use us the more? If we tried our very best to cleanse our lives, would He use us more? I believe so. I believe that this is one of the things that we sometimes take, the little wrongs that crop up. Oh, well, they're just little ones. We don't pay too much attention to them. But remember, any sin before the Lord is not right. We can't say, well, that's just a little one. That doesn't mean so much. Even a little sin can mean an awful lot. Depends on our attitude toward it. If we set it aside, try to push it away from ourselves. You know, when we do repent and receive that Holy Ghost, in Moroni, the 8th chapter, and the 29th verse, the first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling the commandments, and the fulfilling the commandments bringeth remission of sins, and the remission of sins brings meekness. This again is not just after baptism of water. Is that the only time we need this meekness? Sure, it brings to us then, at our baptism and after, it brings to us this feeling, this wonderful, wonderful feeling. The Spirit with us, we feel so strong, we feel we're cleansed completely. But do we stay cleansed? What about all those little things that happen in our lives that are wrong? The commandments bringeth remission of sins, and the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost. That's when it will visit you. Which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love. Which love endureth by diligence under prayer, until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God. So many things we must put aside, must put out of our lives, if we're going to have the Holy Ghost with us, if we're going to have hope and perfect love, if we're going to be diligent in prayer, even until the end. I want to turn to Mosiah, the 11th chapter. Page 284, I believe it is. Yeah. I want to read two verses, the 139 and 140th. Yea, and as often as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me. A promise. as often as they repent, I will forgive their trespasses against me. But don't take it lightly and say, if I sin and repent, the Lord will forgive me. This is a truth. This is true. But don't make light of it. Don't sin so you have to repent, if it's possible to help it. And again, and ye shall also forgive one another your trespasses. For verily I say unto you, he that forgiveth not his neighbor's trespasses, when he says that he repents, the same hath brought himself under condemnation. So I have a little something against one of you brothers or sisters. And there's things I need to go to the Lord of, to have him forgive me, to repent and have him forgive me. And if I haven't forgiven you, my words are useless. Or it might be, and I ask him for forgiveness for me, it will not be granted. I'm not saying it's something done unknowingly. You don't know it. Sure, it's a sin if you don't know it. But if you don't know it, you're not responsible. And this is something that the sin, the things that I'm talking about, are those things that we do know. The things that we are responsible for. From page 626, 5th chapter, 3rd Nephi. I'm going to read two or three verses, beginning with the Sorry, 636. I get to it. And I want to start with the 66th verse. And behold, I have given you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye should believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me and be ye saved. I made a little addition in mine that makes a lot of sense to me. If you follow the 67th verse, I've added two words. Behold, ye have the commandments to repent before you. And we have. And the law is fulfilled, therefore, come unto me and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the commandment is, repent of your sins. And the promise is that you will have the Holy Ghost, the forgiveness of the Lord. But the commandment is repent. And I don't believe that there is impossible to have too much repentance. Sometimes there's times in our lives when we, I don't just what word you would call it, but we get so down and we feel that we aren't worth very much and we think we've done so many, many things wrong. Yes, there's times that way when we need to talk to people, talk to the ministry, talk to those you have confidence in, whom you feel are trying their best to live the gospel. Talk to them. Many times in your thoughts you can be wrong. You're not blameless, but sometimes you lay more blame upon yourself than ought to be. You know, when we try our very best, I believe that the Lord is going to bless us. He's going to bless us with that charity, that pure love of God, of Christ. Then we can see, by that love, by that Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, we then can see where we've erred. Without having the knowledge, or without having been brought to us, shown to us, sometimes we sin and don't know it. But the sins that we commit and don't know it, someone else may see, and it may hinder them. And if we have the Spirit of the Lord to be with us, we can see those things that at first we didn't. We are better shown the way. The other night we sang a song. It was number 143. The chorus to this song is, "This is the message that I bring, a message angels fain would sing. Oh, be ye reconciled, thus saith my Lord and King. Oh, be ye reconciled to God." And there is no way you can be reconciled to God without repentance. There is no way without repentance that you can be reconciled to God. On page 165, it's the 2 Nephi 15th chapter in the 10th verse. "But behold, for none of these can I hope, except they shall be reconciled unto Christ, and enter into the narrow gate, and walk in the straight path which leads to life, and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation." Enter in the narrow gate, walk in the straight path which leads to life, and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation. Can you do this by yourself? You can't unless the Lord grants you His Spirit to guide, especially to guide your way in all your paths, the ones you walk, the ones you think, the ones you speak, however it might be. You must live in such a way that you can have that Spirit to guide you. The best of people, they depend on their own powers, might be upright, fine people. But oh, how much better people would they be with the Spirit of the Lord to guide them. I'd like to turn to James. If
5th chapter, 16th verse, which says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual prayer, or the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay. Now we pray for our loved ones, those who are sick, those who have trials and troubles. We are concerned to our very soul, we feel. We are so concerned. And the Lord hears our prayers. But remember what he said. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'm going to add some words. Much more than if we weren't trying to be a righteous person. Sometimes in our very prayers we can ask amiss. I'd like to turn back to Alma again. Be page 431, 16th chapter, the 235th verse. Alma says, and this I know, because the Lord hath said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples. You say, what does that have to do with repentance? Without repentance, can our temples be unholy? How can we make them holy? By doing away with all those obstacles that are in our lives that would prevent us. The Lord has said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples. And we so much want the Spirit of the Lord to be with us, to guide and lead us. So then we must try our very best to make our temples, our bodies, our minds, our beings as receptive as can be to the Lord's Spirit. Again, and this I know, because the Lord has said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. In the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. We have, as I said, so many things that beset us, and it seems that you lick one trial, you lick one thing, and two more crop up. And you work to overcome them, and others crop up. You know that the Lord will help you, but that you know that you must make yourself as receptive as possible to his Spirit to be helped. The Lord has said that he would not strive always with mankind. We can't always say, well, he'll continue to help me. He'll continue to bless me. He has, and he will. I'm going to phrase it this way. He will, if we will let him. He will not save us against our will. And if we decide that we're going to walk our own way, he may not strive with us. There comes a time when it ends, that striving ends, when we've let ourselves go so far, and he doesn't strive anymore. You know, I'd say to all of us, all of you, who are not baptized,
who have some understanding of the gospel, who know what your life is like, who know that it should be better than it is, who has heard many times the scriptures read, explained, be baptized, that you may have the opportunity of serving the Lord as He would have you to do. But then to all of us who are baptized, remember when I first read, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Make your lives a life that you feel and believe that the Lord can use you. And it doesn't take a wise man to know what you have to do if the Lord is going to use you. You don't have to be wise at all, because you know the mistakes you've made. And you know the ones you should refrain from, the ones you should overcome. And you know when you should ask for forgiveness. Don't put it off. I would ask each of us, are we completely satisfied with our lives, that we have soul salvation with our lives as they are now?